are with us today to the book of St. John. Good to have everybody again this morning. Glad for you that are here. Just want you to worship the Lord. Amen. As we go into the Word of God. Amen. I really wrestled today with the leading of the Lord for the Word for today. Amen. Praise God. So I believe that I've heard the Lord. Amen. And I hope you will listen and hear Him as well. Amen. For those of you, amen, that can, we can all relate to the Word in some way, right? Every message, there's something I believe that we all can, but sometimes there are certain messages where there are specific things, amen, or targeting, amen, people's lives, amen. So we trust you'll listen today to the Lord, amen. John 21, verse 1, everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise showed he himself. And there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They said to him, we also go with thee. They went forward and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you will find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet there was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Amen. They're going to bless the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Come on and bless him as well. Hallelujah. If the Lord will allow me, I want to minister simply on the bullet, come and dine. Look at a neighbor and say that, come and dine. Amen. Praise God. In Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 5, we have Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee. Amen. Jesus saw Peter and Andrew, James and John, working there with their fishermen nets. Amen. As they were fishermen, praise God. They were just ordinary men doing ordinary work as Jesus passed by them. Amen. They were not powerful rulers. Amen. They were not religious leaders. They were respected scholars. They weren't well known. Amen. Among their peers, they were just simply ordinary men. But Jesus said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. Jesus met them right in the middle of their everyday life. Amen. Amen. Their everyday life is where Jesus met them. And the Bible tells us that they left their nets and they followed him. Amen. They did not just leave, amen, what they were doing, but they left the tools and the instruments. Amen. All of their life's source. Amen. And so we can look at the nets and we can say that their nets represented, amen, their old way of life, their old routines, their security, their priorities. Amen. They left the nets because they intended to follow Jesus and not come back, amen, if you will, to what they were doing when he said, come, follow me. So this is a picture of real surrender. Amen. This is a picture of what it looks like to really surrender, amen, a life to Christ. Now you got to understand that these ordinary men were not perfect, amen, but they were willing. I'm thankful this morning that God didn't require me to be perfect. Amen. All he did was ask me to be willing. And I'm still not perfect, amen. Even under the blood, I'm simply justified, forgiven, amen, and redeemed. But I'm so thankful that when I do stumble, amen, that the blood has given me, praise God, the privilege to have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ, amen, that grace and that mercy today, praise God. So they were willing this morning, amen, that I was thinking about that and thinking about their mindset and where they were. They had no idea that morning when they got up, amen, to go do their job, amen, to make their money, that which they were securing, that which they knew how to do, amen. When you know your job, amen, there's a difference, amen, when you start a new job and you're not sure, amen, when you go in, what you're supposed to do or how everything is supposed to run or what, amen, the standards are. But once you get, amen, you understand your job and you do it a little bit, amen, you don't think much about going in and doing that job, amen, because you know it firsthand. And that's the way they were. They understood the concepts, amen, of fishing. They knew the environment. They knew, amen, the conditions of the water, the weather, and all, amen. They even knew the places, amen, where probably the fish were more in abundance. They knew exactly how to, amen, move the net. They knew how to, amen, maneuver, praise God. And when they felt, amen, the fish in the net, they knew how to make it, amen, and fix it to where the net would not release the catch, amen. Praise God, they were just ordinary men. But I thought about that day when Jesus came and said, follow me, and they left their nets. They still had fears, amen, they still had misunderstandings, they still had weaknesses, and they still had failures. Yet Jesus said, follow me. Hallelujah. I'm glad today. Hallelujah. That he doesn't keep a list and he doesn't check it twice. Amen. But when we accept him through the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, we are forgiven. Amen. And our sins are no longer held against us. The penalty of death is removed from off of us. And now we have that resurrection dunamis power inside of us, amen, living a life with Jesus, amen, praise God. But they were willing to follow, and Jesus transformed their lives. Is there anybody in the house today who will say with your hand lifted, my life has been transformed by Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Nothing that I have done, nothing that I could have accomplish, but all because of what he has done. Amen. Praise God. So I want to encourage anybody in here today who may feel like you're just too ordinary, amen, to be used by God. Don't ever let the enemy convince you that you're too ordinary to be used by God, because you couldn't have found any more ordinary men, amen, than these men that Jesus passed by. Praise God. They had no idea what was in store for them, but they were willing to follow because he asked, lead me, Lord, and I will follow. I've learned in the last, amen, couple of years that is really, amen, a very deep statement. Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. Following him requires requires immense sacrifice. Following him requires denial of yourself. Amen. We got to lay down the old identity. We got to escape the mindset of what used to be. Amen. And realize that he created us to be a son and a daughter to him. Hallelujah. And Jesus came down from where he was, and he became flesh so that we could be reestablished and restored in that relationship with our Father Creator. Are you glad today with a hand clap? Hallelujah, that he is your Father. Never feel too ordinary for God to use us, because the power isn't in us, but it's in the one that we follow. It's not in us this morning. Nothing that we have done, nothing that we can do. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost, amen, gives us, amen, the power and the authority, uses us as we lay hands and we put our hands to whatever it is that we do. But it is not anything within us, but the one that we follow. But we have to leave behind our nets. Touch your neighbor and say, leave your net. Now, I want to remind you that our nets are not always simple things. Amen. But they can be hindrances. Amen. If they matter more to us than Christ. So this morning, if you got some things, amen, that you feel like are interrupting, amen, your fellowship, your closeness, your ability to be drawn in, amen, to the presence of God, I want to challenge you today to leave your nets right where they are. Hallelujah, because God is calling us, amen, to be sons and daughters. I will follow Jesus. I will follow him all the way. Amen. The old song says, if mom don't go, it's not going to hinder me. If dad don't go, it's not going to hinder me. I'm on my way, and I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. They had to leave their nets, and we have to leave behind our nets. And what you need to understand is that Jesus became the center of their lives. For 3 years, nearly 3.5 years, if you will, Jesus became the center of their lives. They followed him. They listened to him. He taught them. They fellowshiped with him. They didn't always understand everything that he was saying. Amen. But they followed him. He became the center of their lives. But then it came time for Jesus to be crucified. Now the world was changing. Now their ideas and their thoughts was changing. Amen. And we know that how Jesus, if you look in John chapter 20, we know, amen, that Jesus presented himself to them after he resurrected. Amen. He came to them and he revealed himself. Amen. We know that Peter saw the empty tomb, and he was one of the ones that went running back and telling the others. Amen. And the Bible tells us that, amen, they were hiding, amen, in a room, and praise God, out of fear of retribution, because they followed Jesus. Amen. And now the tomb was empty. He was gone. And they wasn't sure what was going on and what was happening. But we know that Jesus showed up. And the Bible tells us that he didn't even have to open the door. Amen. That he just walked through, amen, the wall, and they saw him there. Amen. And they realized that he was alive. Amen. And then we know that it goes on in chapter 20 where Thomas wasn't there. Amen. And Thomas said, listen, I'm glad you all said it. I'm glad you all believe it. Amen. But here's the thing. It's been such a rough time, and this has been such an ordeal that I'm going to have to, amen, put my hand, see, amen, the scars in his hands. I'm going to have to see evidence that it was really Jesus. Amen. And we know, praise God, that
Amen. Listen, when Mary came to Jesus, amen, he said, don't touch me, for I'm not yet ascended to the Father. He had to take the sacrifice, amen, back to the mercy seat of heaven. But now he had, amen, taken it back. And Thomas, amen, he said, it's me, Thomas. Put your hand here, amen, and see, this is, amen, the hole in my side. Look at the nail prints in, amen, my wrist. It's me, Thomas. Amen. So we know that he presented himself, amen, to them. And so they saw him. So I want you to think about their minds and think about, amen, where they were. Have you ever, amen, experienced a stressful time? Amen. A time when it felt like everything that you thought you knew and everything that you thought you believed, all of the expectations that you had, amen, at least for the near future, you thought everything was worked out, but then something came, amen, and flipped that completely upside down. And now it looked like, amen, you did not know this world that you were living in. Amen, are you with me? Hallelujah. This would have been the mindset that they had. And if you've ever been under any level of stress for a specific amount of time, amen, now there had to be comfort when Jesus came and showed himself to them. Hallelujah. But listen, amen, they were in a place. And have you ever got some relief from that stressful moment? Amen. But then your body, as you're in that mode of stress, and your adrenaline is high, and your mind is all racing like they were in that room. Can you imagine if Jesus would have knocked on the door in that room that they were hiding? They probably would not have opened the door. And he would have said, it's me, your master. They would have been like, no way, I'm not opening that door. That's a trick, because they're going to come to take us and kill us because, amen, he's missing. But he walked through the door. Amen. But when you get that sense of a little bit of relief from that stressful time, amen, have you ever had a moment of a season in your marriage, amen, when it felt like everything was fractured, amen, and things were just not, and you really weren't certain, some have dealt, amen, with things that look like, amen, the possibility of the marriage, amen, dissolving, amen, and the stress. Amen. If you've ever lost a loved one suddenly, you've ever lost a spouse, amen, suddenly, or you've had a spouse come and say, I don't love you anymore, or you've been on a job for years, security, amen, you know, not thought twice, had your mind you were going to retire from that job, had in your mind that that was going to be the rest of your life, but then they come and tell you that your job is over, for whatever reason, it literally flips your world upside down, and everything that you thought you knew is now, amen, unknown. Your body begins to take a hold of that. I'm learning, amen, as I'm moving into trying to, amen, be a better me physically, to be more healthy, amen, to, amen, myself, adding, amen, years to my life. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? People say, I had a few people tell me, well, God will take care of you. Yeah, he will, but you got to do your part, too. This body ain't meant to handle and deal with some of the things that we, amen, do to it. Praise God, but I'm learning, amen, in with my doctor, the things that I'm doing in the protocol, amen, that your body, amen, the cells in your body, amen, and the tissues in your body, literally, amen, will hold in the stress. They will literally, amen, hold it in. And the pressure and your cells, amen, will hold in stress and anxiety. Amen. mind, and over time, you may not notice it right away, but over time, your body will start sending signals telling you something's not right. Listen, God created this body like an ecosystem, and when something is not working right, there's something wrong with the ecosystem. Are you hearing me today? Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm learning that, amen, the tissues in your body can hold, amen, stress and those places of trauma for years. Amen. And it sends signals. Amen. To your spine. Your spine, amen, is the very center of your body. And it will send signals to your spine. And I'm learning that it's a lot of the reason why people's spines get out of alignment. Amen. Because their tissues and their cellular level in their body, their mitochondria, amen, is not working. That's why you can go to a chiropractor and he can straighten, amen, and adjust your spine. But then a week later, you're feeling it again. Because the problem isn't your spine. The problem is what's connected to it. And if you don't get that taken care of, it's just going to continue to knock your spine, amen, out of alignment. Are you with me? I'm saying all this. Amen. Your brain does the same thing. Your brain will hold stress. It will put it in a memory. Amen. It will hold sickness, trauma, drama, all kinds of things. This is why we need the Holy Ghost to renew our minds. This is how demonic entities gain access into our minds, and the strongholds are made. I don't know who I'm talking to today. Hallelujah, but listen to me. Amen. There is a healing for all that causes a disruption in your body. And you gotta do your part. Amen. I've been taking supplements and have taken stuff over the years, and nothing helps. I'm learning why. Because my body inside, amen, is so out of condition. My cellular level is so messed up that my cells, everything I take that's good, amen, that the cells do not allow my body to absorb it, and it does not allow the toxins to be released. So what's happening is, amen, is the good stuff I'm taking is going right back out, and the bad stuff that's there is getting worse, and it's causing more problems. So we got to heal. Oh, somebody hear me today. God created this body. Amen. It's not some magical new age aura. Amen. It is how God created us. And if we will do our part, God will keep that which we commit to Him. I'm determined I'm not going to end up crippled and broken in 5 years. I'm determined I'm not going to suffer just to enjoy my grandchildren. I've got my mind made up, and I'm thankful for the anointing and the presence. And God will do His part, and the Holy Ghost will work with you and give you wisdom. But I'm thankful today that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. But my point was, amen, when you get a little bit of relief, your body starts feeling it. You're exhausted. You start feeling the effects of that stress and that moment and that season. So I can imagine them in this condition. That was my whole point. Just thought I forgot it, didn't you? That's part of my problem, too. So what's not fixed in there is causing fog and relapse up here. And as you age, things break down, and that will naturally happen. But if I can keep it, and I come on somebody, then I'm going to keep it. So I can imagine them feeling that. just like, oh, I'm just tired. Just tired. So, after Jesus appears to them in John chapter 28, presented himself, it says in chapter 21, it starts out after these things. So after that, Bible tells us now that Peter, James, and John, Thomas, and two other disciples that the Bible doesn't name, John doesn't tell us their names, were together. Can you imagine the conversation? Whoa, man, what did you think about that when you saw Jesus come walking from the wall? What did you think about that? They were together, probably having some pretty deep conversation, feeling a sense of maybe relief, but still no direction. Think about the condition of Peter, especially in Peter's mind. What Peter had done, what had transpired with Peter prior to the crucifixion of Jesus. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Lord willing. But think about their mindset. Peter said, guys, I'm going fishing. And they're like, we're going to go with you. We're going to go fishing with you. So the Bible says they all got in the boat, right? And they found themselves back by the Sea of Galilee. The very same place Jesus found them. When he said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible says that they went fishing, and they fished all night long, and never caught one fish. Now, I'm not an avid fisherman because I don't have the patience. First of all, I'm not going to sit in the sun and bake like a lobster to maybe catch one fish. It's just not the thing. I don't sit in the sun to do much of anything unless I have to, because I don't like it. It's just my preference. Plus, it's not good for my skin. What's my skin? Or my preference? All my So maybe if I get stuff on the inside, he will, I can sit in the sun. Probably not. My choice. But my point is if you are not a fisherman, if you've ever sat on a boat or you've ever sat on a bank, my grandpa used to say, but he's like, he always go in the evening. So I liked going with my grandma because the sun was going down and it wasn't hot. And he would make amen, those bait out of cornflakes, and like we would work really hard, right, and get all that, and we would sit for hours until it got dark and catch something. And after a little bit, I was like, better believe it. Well, just wait a few more minutes. Nothing, right? Have you ever sat for hours and caught nothing? How many fishermen have ever done that? But you go back, right? But it's frustrating, right? Especially if it's a day off, or you're taking a day off, or you don't, right? It's supposed to be, you know, maybe you just enjoy that by yourself, right? Like, I get that too, yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, it's frustrating. And so here they are. Now they've been fishing all night, so they're naturally tired. Right? And they're ready to, you know, to take a nap. And the Bible says that the sun was so breaking, amen. That day was breaking, and they had caught nothing, amen. Praise God. But listen, amen. They weren't, I understand this. Here they went back amen, to the Sea of Galilee. They went and found themselves again by the Sea of Galilee. I think it's interesting, amen, from the 3.5 years of the things that they experienced, that they weren't preaching, amen. They weren't gathering crowds, amen. They weren't trying to say, hey, we saw Jesus. He's alive. Let us tell you that he's alive. Let us tell you what we learned. They weren't doing any of that. They were fishing, amen, praise God. And they went back to something familiar. They went back to something familiar, something they understood, something, maybe something that would be steady after the days that they had just experienced, right? Like, he's like, I'm still fishing. Like, it's been a rough few days, guys. I'm going to go fishing. They were maybe hoping for something just a little more steady, something that they could predict. I guarantee you they never thought they wouldn't catch a fish. Can you imagine their mindset? Man, we haven't done this for so many years. We're out of practice. We don't even know how to catch fish anymore. What are we going to do? Right? Are you with me? And then, so they fished all night, they caught nothing. And then as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. There he stood. And the scripture tells us, John tells us, that they didn't recognize him. And he called out to them. He said, hey, cast your nets to the right side. Because he said, you don't have any fish, do you? They're like, no. He said, cast your nets to the right side of the boat. And they threw their net, and the Bible says they caught so many fish that they couldn't even haul it aboard. They couldn't even lift it and get it into the boat. And the Bible says that when they caught the fish, when Jesus asked the question, you don't have any fish, do you? They said, no. He said, cast your nets to the right side. And when they did, They pulled up so many fish, and that was so heavy, amen, that they couldn't get it up. John looked at Peter and said, it's Jesus. Said the one that loved him, said to Peter, which is John, it's Jesus. And when he told Peter that it was Jesus, you see, Peter was shook down to his undergarments because he was fishing, amen, to get out in the water. Amen. When he realized, when John said it's Jesus, Peter put on his fisherman's coat, amen, his fisherman's coat, and he jumped into the water and he swam, amen, the rest of the way to the shore. Hallelujah. I would imagine, amen, praise God, that Peter maybe had the mindset, amen, that Jesus was done with him, that Jesus had disassociated from him, that he had ruined his opportunity to be the disciple of Jesus because he had denied Jesus. Amen. He's the one that stood up and told Jesus, I'll never deny you. I'll go wherever you go. And Jesus told him before, amen, you'll deny me 3 times, Peter, before the rooster crows. Peter's like, no way, no how. But we know that it happened just like Jesus said. And Peter felt shame and guilt and regret. Hallelujah. Can you imagine, amen, when he saw, praise God, and heard that Jesus was on the shore, he thought, man, he's come back. I wonder what's going to happen. How many times do we stay away from the shore, from where Jesus is, because we're convinced, amen, that we just have went too far, that we'll never get back. If you're in here today and you're backslidden, you've walked away from God, and you feel like that you're too far, or you went too far, amen, that Jesus would never, amen, embrace you, I want you to hear me this morning. Hallelujah. Because when Peter put on his coat, and he went in, amen, and plunged into the water, and the rest of them stayed in the boat, and they had to drag the net, amen, to the rest of the shore. And when they came, they saw something interesting on the shore. There was a charcoal fire with a fish cooking on the fire and bread. Now this may seem like an unnecessary or just a common detail, one that we shouldn't pay attention to, but we realize that Jesus had already prepared a meal. Why would a risen Christ who had overcome death be found cooking fish on the shore? Surely there were better things for him to do. There were people to be ministered to, people that needed to have that witness. But there was something, amen, up there. There was nothing dramatic. See, usually when you found Jesus on the shore, there was what? There were crowds of people, and there was usually some kind of chaos and drama happening. But there was nothing dramatic here. Amen. There was nothing, no public display with a crowd. Amen. There was a fire, a meal, and an intimate setting. Jesus and five other men. As the day was breaking, here are the same disciples who had scattered out of fear and confusion and stress and anxiety. The ones who had struggled to understand what had just taken place. What in the world is happening here? That one Peter, who had just denied Jesus three times. But this is how Jesus beats them. I want you to think about that today. I don't know who the Lord is talking to, but man, I had to wrestle through a lot of stuff to get to this message today. This is how he beats them. See, our mindset might be that he would, as Peter come swimming up, he would like, okay, Peter, we need to talk. I told you, you would deny me three times before the rooster crowed. You did, didn't you? Yes, sir. I did. Our mindset, and maybe Peter had that thought too. And I'm afraid that many of us view God from that angle. That's the lens in which we see God first. Is that when we approach him, he's going to correct us. He's going to remind us of everything that needs to be fixed. I'm so glad he don't do that to me. Because that's all that we get done. Come on, are you hearing me? Let's just be real, right? You know I'm transparent. Let's be real. We come to him. And we're expecting him to go down that list that we talked about earlier. That he's keeping of all the mess-ups. But Jesus didn't confront Peter. There was no immediate correction or any kind of public confrontation. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Can I tell you the truth will make you free? But you can present it like it's bondage and shackle somebody with your version of the truth? Are you hearing me? Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on. Jesus, by all rights, should have said, all right, Peter, it's time to get this thing worked out. But there was no immediate correction or any kind of public confrontation. He didn't have his notes and his readers all in amen, ready to say, all right, this is what we need to talk about. It wasn't like that. He didn't meet them with that confrontation or that correction, but he met them with provision. He met them. What was on the shore besides Jesus when they got there? Fish cooking on the fire and bread. He gives them something he, before there were any questions asked or any purpose, is reiterated. Before he starts going over, I called you to carry the gospel, the mission, you are commissioned, before he goes into all of that, he gives them something to eat. I want you to hear me this morning. Before he asks any questions or anything, can I tell you that the resurrection didn't remove the ordinary rhythm of life? God knows we still gotta move in this life. He's not some far off, some mystical, amen, majestical deity that is so far off that we have to approach it. He wants to come down and be part of our ordinary life. He understands the grind. He understands, amen, the conditions and the things that we get our bodies and things in our mind. He gets all of that. That's why he sent the Holy Ghost to dwell in us and to walk with us, to comfort us and to lead and guide. Because he couldn't stay here. He gets it. I think he even gets it when the other drivers on the freeway get on my nerves. Y'all know I struggle there. But I'm telling you, since they closed that exit, and I can't take the freeway to work, and I'm driving down back roads, man, it's different. When the freeway opens back up, I'm still going to take those back roads. Because it is different. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you. God convicted me and gave me a lesson. Amen. And all of that. Take me home. Country roads. Yeah. The resurrection, listen. The resurrection didn't automatically fix everything. It didn't do away with the need for presence, restoration, and fellowship. It didn't do away with the need that sometimes you just gotta get away, amen, from all of the outside connection, and you gotta let yourself, amen, de-stress, and you gotta let yourself, amen, breathe. It's all right to not need to be around people all the time. It's all right to need to say, you know what, I need some space. I need to get away with the Lord. That's why he gave us the Sabbath. And we don't honor the Sabbath like he created the Sabbath to feed us and do us, myself included. Amen. It would change the rhythm of our life. Amen. I'm not talking about coming to church on a specific day of the week, because now that don't even matter. Used to, everything was closed. Gas station, stores. You had to go home and cook dinner. Nobody done anything on Sunday. Now everybody does everything on Sunday. The athletics, they have the ball games. Amen. They create all the events. People have weddings and showers and funerals and parties and yada, yada, yada. Are you with me? Now there is, amen. Now coming to church is a stressful time because you got to try to figure out your schedule. And if the pastor preaches 5 minutes past your schedule, then you're all uptight and you got to sneak out and leave because you got to get here. You got to get there. When we used to, at least we had to go home and chill out. We didn't have anything else to do because there was nowhere to go. Somebody help me. You know I'm talking to you right now. 7 days a week, our lives are filled with nothing but go, 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 go. Help us, Lord, convict us, God. Hallelujah, to allow, amen, what he created to work for us, in us, through us, so that we can be for him, to him, and in him, a better version of who he created us to be. Can you tell that I'm under conviction? We don't allow it. The Hebrew scripture translates it in Genesis and says, and it says to let that day be what it was created to be. He didn't create the Sabbath for us to follow a bunch of rules and regulations. He created the Sabbath to work for us. And so, the resurrection didn't take away the cares of life. Are you hearing me? It didn't take away when you get anxious in the moments when your emotions will ride high and that fear comes and those things. So it didn't take all of those experiences away. Are you hearing me? People have the notion, amen, that getting saved, amen, just makes life easy peasy, amen, beautiful. And then they think, well, amen, everybody that goes to church is like that. And then they come in and realize all of us are a bunch of heathens. We're all just a mess trying to make it. Come on, are you hearing me? Amen. We're all of that. You see what the enemy has done? Amen. With the simple things that God has created and how that life, amen, overwhelms and overtakes. Amen. It would be nice if the resurrection did away with that, but it didn't. Amen. Do away with the need for presence and restoration or fellowship. Amen. I still need my mind and my body restored. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Oh, that I might not sin against God. Are you hearing me today? Praise God. Amen. It didn't do away with the ordinary cares of life. Can I tell you that Jesus didn't stand at a distance from them after he rose? He could have stood afar off. He could have stayed, amen, away from them. But where did he go? Amen. After he rose, he didn't stand off at a distance, even when he was on the shore. He waited until they were just, amen, a certain amount of distance from the shore. And he met them there and he called out to them. I'm here to tell somebody today that Jesus has brought you here to let you know that he's meeting you right where you are. I don't care. It doesn't matter what kind of mess or situation or condition. It matters not all of the details. It matters not the aura that you carry with you, that you brought in with you this morning. And I don't mean that in a new age. I'm talking about we carry an atmosphere. It doesn't matter what it is. Jesus, hallelujah, because he resurrected and he conquered and overcame death and hell. Hallelujah. He's not standing afar off, but he's right there within access for you this morning. But listen here, where does he meet them? He meets them in a place that they know. He meets them, amen, doing what they understand. And now he's providing for them what they couldn't get for themselves. A fish. All they wanted was one fish. Can you imagine all night long? I can imagine being like, dude, just one fish. It's like they all are gone. Just one fish. One fish would make it worth all of this time and effort. He met them and he provided for them what they couldn't get for themselves. We'll get that next Sunday. Because we strive, we struggle, we work, we pursue, we do, we worry, we become anxious, and then we never get what we're looking for. When Jesus is within a small distance, already provided what we need. An old song, come and dine, Master God. There's some old ones that have thought about that song probably 10 times since we've been preaching. Come and dine, the Master called, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry call of now, come and dine. His disciples come to them. Thus over the Christ to them. Or the Master called unto them. Come and dine. And we didn't. At first. Where they found their hearts desire. Bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies their hunger all the time.
Mercy said, what you got? That was the merciful way of saying, you've worked all night. And I haven't got a thing, have you? He said, you got any fish? Don't have any fish, do you? He could have had an opportunity to tell them, what are you boys wasting your time? I said, well, what are you doing back here? Did I tell you to go back to what you knew, to go back to what was familiar? Did I tell you to go back to fishing? Before he even called out to them, he had provided for them the very thing that they were striving for. What they couldn't get for themselves. And even, I never thought about this until I was preparing for this message, but even the fire stands out. The Bible says that it was a charcoal fire. Now, if you look in the scriptures, you'll see one other place that the Bible points out a charcoal fire. And it's in John chapter 20. And it just so happens that when Jesus was being attacked and crucified, and the people looked at Peter and they said, aren't you one of them? We've seen you with him. Haven't you been there? No, not me. And then I said again, you sure? I promise. I saw you with Jesus last week over there. I remember a month ago, three times they asked Peter. Peter said no. What was Peter doing? He was warming his hands. And the Bible says, over a charcoal fire. Now, see, for me, being that fresh, and let's just call it trauma. I'm not trying to make, you know, something bigger than that, but let's just call it a traumatic experience, because the Bible says that Jesus passed by him, and Peter made eye contact with him. Peter was like, oh, no. So that charcoal was fresh. So I would think that every time I saw a charcoal fire, my mind would go back to when I denied Jesus three times. I would be reminded of how bad I messed up. And here comes Peter after swimming, amen, and anxiously getting back to where Jesus was. And there's a charcoal fire. Hear me? And before he had stood by that fire. And so my point is what was once associated with failure became the very place
restoration began. What Peter once associated with the ultimate failure, right? Even after Jesus told him he would, he pretty much told Jesus, you're wrong. But he did anyway. So the very thing that was a representation of his failure became the very place that restoration began. Now, Jesus, we know this is a very famous excerpt and part of the scripture of the conversation that Jesus had with Peter. It's preached on, it's talked about. There are songs written about, amen, the discourse that happened here between Peter and Jesus. But I want you to catch something, that Jesus did not ask him the first question before he invited him to sit, eat, and remain there. Did you see the process? He didn't deal with Peter's failure first. Sister Maggie, he said, come and dine. Come eat. Sit down and eat. Let's set a spell for you. Come and listen. Made you something, sit a spell. Remain, relax, calm down. Hold on. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if God chooses to do it in that way, he does. But I'm telling you, this gives us a picture of the ministry of Jesus. That he did not come first and foremost to point out Peter's failure. He didn't even do it in that way. Hallelujah. But he presented, amen, after they ate and they sat down and they were and caught their breath. Hallelujah. The meal came before the conversation. The communion came before the correction. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. The provision came before the restoration. The restoration didn't come and then provision. It was the provision first and then the restoration. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah this morning. I don't know who needs to hear this today. Hallelujah. But amen. Listen, he restores before he sins. And so after they had sat down and they had ate after fishing all night. By now, the sun's probably on the horizon. Now they can see Jesus and they're sitting and eating. Jesus looks at Peter and he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes. He said, feed my sheep. He says it to him a second time. Peter, do you love me? Peter's like, yes, I do. He said, feed my sheep. Now Peter's probably starting to feel a little more comfortable, maybe. I don't know. But then a third time, Jesus asked him the same question. Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know I do. He said, feed my lambs. Peter denied him three times. He asked Peter three times, do you love me? I believe he reversed every time Peter denied him. Because Jesus knew Peter loved him. He just knew that Peter needed to understand what that love really was. Peter needed to understand that love wasn't just falling around and doing what he said and hanging out and being his amen, security guard, amen. But loving him was literally leaving what was ordinary and following him no matter what the price was. Amen. Who knows what would have happened to Peter if he would have said yes. Amen. But listen, we know that Jesus told Peter prior that, amen, the devil desires. The devil lusts after you, Peter. He desires to sit you like wheat, but I've been praying for you. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the sustaining power of the Holy Ghost? Oh, the times that he's brought me out when I didn't even know I was in it. Amen. When he brought me out before I even got through it.
Feed my lambs. Jesus already had what they needed. See, this wasn't about food. They could have cooked the 153 fish that they caught. Are you hearing me? Jesus could have just had the fire ready. But he had the fish on the fire, already prepared. And the bread. I am the bread of life. Let's have a meal. Let's commune. Let's fellowship. It wasn't about food. It was about presence. Some of you need the presence of the Lord today. You keep yourself. You have kept yourself from his presence because of all of the things you know about you. Jesus, Paul writes, could have said to Peter, instead of saying, do you love me? He could have said, Peter, why did you remind me when you said you love me? See, that's what I said, so why did you remind me when you said you love me? What was it that, were you scared? What was it, Peter? But in his mercy and grace and tender loving kindness, he just simply asked Peter, do you love me? Peter had to convince himself, and by the third time, you know I do. I do. I realize how I do. And I realize now that I can't make it without you. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. You see, but the one who rose in power returned to the one who had faltered. He could have went many other places. And he didn't begin with a sermon, but he began with a meal that he prepared himself. He's prepared a place for us in the presence of God. Him being the mediator doesn't mean that he stands between you and God. Is that he is there at the right hand of God when we are trying to approach the throne and he's going, come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. Don't stop. Don't stop. You don't have to stop. He knows all about that. Come on, somebody. He knows the condition of our heart. He knows the motives. He knows when our heart is repentant. Come on, are you hearing me? I'm not saying we don't have to repent. You get what I'm saying? When we feel like we can only go so far. Amen. Praise God. And we're like Isaiah. Oh, no, I can't. My lips are unclean. But then the seraphim came down, took the coal of fire, and purified his lips. And he said, now you can go. Jesus done that for us. That's why he couldn't be touched till he took the blood. Now you can go boldly into the throne of grace. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, how many times you've failed and faltered, what kind of aura you're carrying. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. It's the presence that you need. And so Jesus is going, keep coming. Keep coming. Come on, keep coming. Walk a little faster. You take all the time you need, but don't you stop coming. You belong in here. Come on, I see you as the advocate different, as the mediator. I used to see this. He would have to tell God. I used to envision it, God.
you know that you forgave them, and God, their sins are covered. Now, don't hold that against them. Maybe he does, I don't know, but I don't see it like that anymore. As my mediator, as my go-between, at the right hand of God, ever living, to make that intercession. Amen. It's just like saying to Peter, I pray for you, Peter, and the devil wants you, but I pray for you. It's the same thing. Jesus doesn't have to pray for us now. Hallelujah. But he's going to say, keep coming. Keep coming. You have a right to be here. You belong here. I did all this so you could come in. So, oh, somebody help me. I feel his presence this morning. He's saying, come and die. Just come on in. Come and die. Come and die. Just keep coming. I see you fall. I knew when you fell, but you got up. Don't stay there. Keep coming. Keep coming. Get a little closer. It's all right. You can come closer. It's all right. I know what it feels like. I know what it's like. But just keep coming. I promise you, there's peace in his presence. There's joy in his presence. There's healing in his presence. There's restoration in his presence. He's got something prepared for you. Come and die. I have what you need. See, Jesus meets people, touching them and say, he meets people. Not where they should have been, but where they are. You'll get that in 2 weeks. Some of you believe he meets people, but you believe he meets people where they should have been. You believe that you won't experience the presence and the fullness until you get where you should be. But he don't meet people where they should be. He meets people where they are. Oh, come on, somebody. I know that goes against a lot of our religious traditions and teaching, that you got to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, walking upright and perfect. And you do. Holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. But that does not define holiness. My clothes does not define holiness. The length of my hair, and whether I have a clean shaven face, or whether I have a beard or a goatee, that doesn't define holiness. Holiness defines if I understand that the love of the Father Creator is greater than anything I can ever do or attempt to do. And he draws me in. He calls me. Come into my presence. Jesus did what he did so I could. Doesn't meet people where they should have been. And he meets them where they are. And from there, he restores. That's the gospel. Come on, somebody. That's the gospel that the world needs. He won't meet you right where you are. Listen, I know I've said this, especially, it seems like here recently. I told you, listen, Linda, you're here today. I asked you to listen last week, you weren't able to be here. But listen, Linda, hallelujah, I will never forget. It taught me a lesson. Again, I told you that. But listen, when I went and tried to do things on my own for that year, and I went into a bar for that first time, and I sat on that bar stool thinking I was high and mighty, thinking I was going to hide. Amen. I was going to, amen, experience, amen, life. And I was going to do it my way because inside I was broken. I was crushed. Amen. I was out of alignment. Amen. But then that song, when I sat there, amen, came on. Your own personal Jesus. I never in a million years thought I'd hear the name Jesus come over the loudspeaker in the bar. But it was the first song I heard. And I thought, I can't even go to the bar without Jesus. My point is it's like David said, if I make my bed in Sheol, you will be there. He'll meet you at the bar. He'll meet you on the street corner. He'll meet you making that drug deal. Hallelujah. He'll meet you right there. And it's there where he begins to restore you. Jesus is saying, come and die. Come and die.
It's the word that washes us. It's the word that purifies our conscience. It's the word that separates the bone from the marrow and divides asunder the joints and discerns what needs to be taken out and what needs to be put into our bodies. It's the word, not our works. Isn't it amazing that you change one letter of the English word, works, change the K to a D and you get words. It's the words of Jesus that set you free, not your works. Change one letter. It's the word. I told you what the Lord spoke to me a couple months ago. We were doing a Bible study on faith. He told me plainly, your faith doesn't heal.
Yeah, come on.
Except my word heals. Your faith believes my word.
Come on, right.
Shifted my whole idea of faith. Took away the responsibility from me and put it on the word. All I have to do is trust and believe. That's all he's asking me to do, is to trust and believe. He's already prepared what you hunger for. Only he can satisfy today. And he's inviting you to come and dine as they come to the music. He's asking you, come and dine. Just come a little closer. Last Sunday, you got this far. I'm not talking about the altar. I'm just trying to. Maybe last Sunday, you got this far. Now I said, just keep coming a little closer. Keep coming a little closer. The closer you get, the greater the glory. His presence. Come down. I've already got prepared for you. God, I'm this and I'm that. I've done this and I've done that. But I want you to remember this week when the enemy comes at you with that mess, remind him of the charcoal fire. The very place that became a symbol of failure is the very place Jesus met Peter to restore it. He reversed everything that had been done. Only he can set the captive free. Hallelujah. Send the miracles to his legs. Do you ever think about, we all know the story of the woman at the well. You know, Jesus asked her for a drink. And led to her getting revelation. He told her to go to her husband, knowing she didn't have a husband. She said, I have a husband. He said, it's the truth. And here's my point. He told her to go and sin no more. But again, look at this. He gave her permission to carry the message back to her man. He could have said, don't let my name come off your lips. You're not a good representation of me. Don't be going back there now and telling everybody what happened here. Come on, somebody. He gave her permission to go share the good news come see this man. He's told me everything I've done. What manner of man is this that the winds and the seas obey him? You know why they obey him? Because they knew his voice. Back in Genesis chapter 1, Jesus was there when creation, when the creation of the waters took place, and when he said, "Peace, be still." Like, we know that voice. You know who that is? Hashem. Hashem. Come on. It's about authority. And in knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. If you're here today, you're lost. You don't know the Lord. You're away from him. Maybe you've tasted. Maybe things and stuff and chaos and circumstances and life and the cares of life pulled you down and away. Maybe you feel like you don't belong. I hope you've heard Jesus today in this message that says, come, come and die. I've already got prepared for you what you need. I'm your provision. I have what you need. Maybe you're here today and you're not backslidden, you're not away from your relationship and your covenant, but you're just away. You're keeping yourself at a distance from Jesus just because of all the stuff. You're tired. You're weary. Can I tell you? I can tell you, suck it up, buttercup. It's going to be all right. And it will be all right. But can I tell you that it's okay to be tired? It's okay to feel weary. It's okay to feel like, man, I just don't know. The difference is whether you stand still in it or you keep coming despite how you feel. And that's what he's saying today. Come and die. He's meeting you right where you are. And if that relates to you, I want you to come this morning. We're going to pray with you. Say, begin to worship.